I tell you, until Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and until Jesus is in control, this world's still going to keep going down. It's still going to keep going down. And I think it's time that the Christians rise up and get on our knees and we pray. We pray for America. And I tell you, I'm ready to go home. The more I stay here, the longer I stay here, the more I'm looking forward up there. And I hope you are too. And if you're here this morning, you're not saved, you need to get saved. And you need to quit making excuses and quit doing, say, well, I'll put it off and I'll try it next time. I'm going to tell you what, my friends, as we've seen this week, you're not promised tomorrow. And it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are not promised the rest of this day. And if you're here this morning, I know I'm preaching before I'm preaching, but it's good because I'm telling you about Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus in your life, my friends, you will die and you will go to a devil's hell. And I don't apologize for that because that's what the Bible says. But the Bible says you can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And why in the world somebody would pass up so great a salvation? I'll never know. Jesus has been so good to me. And I know if you're saved this morning, you can say Jesus has been good to you too. In Matthew chapter 1, in verse 18, we see the story of Jesus' birth. I know Pastor covered this, some of this, and I was telling somebody earlier, I always hated preaching in another pulpit in Christmas because you usually end up passing each other's scripture, but that's all right. We probably need this double dose. But I really want to just focus in on one verse here, and we're going to read 18 through the end of the chapter, and then we'll go over to Isaiah. But I want us to see what's happening. Remember now, for 400 years, the world has been in silence. No preaching, no prophesying, no nothing going on. It's considered the dark ages between Malachi and Matthew. We see that it was a dark time in the world. By the way, I know I preached this sermon before, but we're living in that dark era too. And all we're waiting on is to see Jesus again. Amen. For Him to appear. That's what they were waiting on in Matthew. They were waiting on Jesus to appear. How? Through a virgin, because that's what was prophesied, that a virgin will conceive, and she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus. And by the way, I'm glad they got the name even right. You know what? What would have happened in the New Testament? They would have called his name Jimmy. The scripture would have been null and void right there. They had to call his name Jesus. Now look at verse 18. The Bible says, now the birth of Jesus was, I like this, on this wise. It was a wise birth. Amen. When as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph. By the way, Jesus knows what it means to have a stepfather. You ever thought about that? Joseph wasn't his real daddy, right? Amen. That was his stepfather. So everybody that comes from broken homes, Jesus knows what you're going through. Before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, I like that. I like that Joseph was a just man. It says, not willing to make her a public example, but was minded to put her away privately. Verse 20 says, but while he thought on these things. Now, I like drawing pictures in my brain. Can you imagine how he was thinking? I bet he was really concentrating on this thing that had just come to him and his family. That here his wife was with a child of the Holy Ghost. God had chosen his wife to carry the Christ child. And he began to ponder these things and think on these things. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And I bet he goes, thank you, Lord, because the promise is still true. This promise could not be broken. 750 years before this time, Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive. And Joseph, I'm sure, knew this prophecy. Now notice, if you will, the next verse, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son. I'm glad it didn't say your son. Shall bring forth a son. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's why Jesus came, was to save the sinner. He didn't come to make the world a better place, necessarily to say. He came to save the sinner. Now verse 22 says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. which being interpreted is God with us. For 400 years it had seemed like God was not with His people. For 400 years it seemed like God had stepped away from this world. It seemed like for 400 years of darkness and wickedness that began to run through this world, all of a sudden the angel appears and says to Joseph, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, meaning, or being interpreted, God with us. By the way, I'm glad God's with us. Then it says, verse 24, then Joseph being raised from the sleep did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I'll preach on this morning. Who is this child? Father, we thank You. We love You this morning. And God, without You this morning, we are doing everything in vain. And Father, we would miss the mark this morning if we did not mention our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and focus on Him and give Him the preeminence today. And Lord, as Your Word has said, if we'll lift Him up, Lord, You said You'd draw all men unto Him. And Father, that's what we want to do this morning. And God, You've been so good to us. I ask that You would continue to be good, Lord, this morning as we open Your Word. Father, I pray for those that are here this morning that, Lord, maybe you're not saved. I pray for those, God, that have never trusted Jesus Christ, never been born again. I pray, God, through the Holy Ghost conviction, Lord, they'd be saved this morning. And Lord, I pray for the Christians here this morning. God, maybe they're here, they're troubled. Lord, maybe they're burdened down. And Lord, I hope today through this message, God, that You would, Lord, just help them lay their burdens aside and give them to You, and casting all their care upon You because You care for us. Lord, bless this message now. Lord, I ask Your hand upon it and Your power in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to go, if you will, over to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. And I want us to see, because here in Matthew it mentions the prophecy of this child. The prophecy of this child. Now, if you look in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, I want you to notice this prophecy is given to us in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Now, remember, this is some 750 years before the prophecy came to pass. But in verse 14 it says, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name, again we see the name, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. God with us. Now look over in chapter 9, if you will, and you should probably know these verses very well. But in Isaiah chapter 9, we notice in verse 6, again, this prophecy continues in a little more in depth of how Jesus was going to come. And then it's going to tell us who He is. By the way, the Old Testament already told us who Christ was. We didn't need the New Testament to know who He was. The New Testament was just the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. Now notice, if you will, verse 6, very simple this morning. It says, for unto us a child is born. By the way, can I give you this? It says, and unto us a son is given. Why does it say a child is born and a son is given? Well, that phrase, a child is born, means He was man. Then when it says a son is given, means He was God. He was man, but yet He was God. He was the God-man. Now notice, if you will, it says, and the government shall be upon His shoulders, and His name shall be called. Now it's going to tell us who He is. Wonderful. By the way, I think this, I've studied this portion of Scripture many times. I believe when you look at that name, Wonderful, I believe it's a summation of all of the other things that He is. I believe that word Wonderful could be put in all of these. He's the Wonderful Counselor. He's the Mighty God. He's the Wonderful Mighty God. He is a Wonderful God. And by the way, why the world doesn't like Christ is because they don't know that He's wonderful, because they have not trusted Him as Savior. The best thing that ever happened to anybody in this world is when Jesus Christ becomes their God and becomes their Savior. Then you too can say, He's a wonderful Savior to me. He's a wonderful Savior to me. I was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. He's a wonderful Savior to me. So He's wonderful. Now look at the rest of it. It says, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. I want to tell you who this child is this morning real quickly. I'll break down four things for you out of those scriptures there, or in that scripture in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I want you to notice, first of all, we discussed that word wonderful. That word wonderful is a summation or a summary of who He is. And all things about Christ, we can say that He is wonderful. But I want you to notice the next word there in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, Counselor. By the way, I believe that if you look up this word, it simply means one who is with you to counsel and to guide. And that's who Jesus is. Let me give you four things this morning. Number one, Counselor. It tells us that there's no problem that He cannot solve. There's no problem that Jesus cannot solve. When Jesus came to this world, He came to be a problem solver. First of all, He came to solve your sin problem. Amen. We should have got more amens right there. I'm sick and I can say amen. Because I'm glad Jesus took care of my sin problem. Amen. Well, preacher, I really don't have a problem with it. You must be in a coma. I think even in a coma, we're still sinners. Amen. I still can find a way to mess something up. Because by nature, the Bible says we are children of disobedience by nature. We're children of wrath by nature, by birth. We are sinners. And when Jesus came, He came as that counselor. Why? He came to counsel us and to solve our problems. By the way, not only will He solve your sin problem, but Jesus can solve all of your problems. You know, I was reading this, and don't get mad at me, but I was looking. I think there's over 29,000 psychiatrists in the USA. And I was thinking how we can knock about all of those off if we just went to Jesus. I'm not saying I'm against all psychiatrists, but I am saying this, is that we have a God who walks with us, who talks with us, who is with us all the time. And He said, casting all your care upon Him, for He cared for you, as 1 Peter says, that Jesus is the counselor. You know, a lot of people say, well, preacher, can you counsel me on this? I'm like, sure, but I don't know what I'm talking about. All I can do is just give you the Word of God. I can give you what the Lord's done in my life. But I want to tell you that Jesus is the wonderful counselor. He is the great counselor. He's the mighty counselor. He's the almighty counselor that will come to you and will counsel you about your problems. There's no problems He can't solve. You know, I can't help. I have this other side of me because I'm ADDD. And I was thinking, you know, when you got a problem, who are you going to call? Everybody knows the rest of that. You know, Ghostbusters. Right? Some of y'all don't know them, but anyway, that's back in the old days. And I was thinking, you know, when the world was, you know, all cartoons, you ever notice that cartoons back in those days were always about problem solvers? You know what? If you had a problem, you call Batman. He'll take care of it. You call Superman. But I was thinking, you know, what if we called on the Lord every time we had a problem? What if every time something struck up in our life that we didn't know how to handle, what if we just said, oh God, help? That's what Peter did. When Peter began to seek, he had a problem. You know what? He knew who would solve it. He knew that Jesus, he called out and said, Lord. By the way, it doesn't have to be anything fancy. God knows your heart this morning. He knows the problems that you have, the problems that you face, whether they're financial, whether they're married, whatever they are today. I know the Lord knows about them and He can solve them. It may not be in your way, or it may not be the way that you want Him to solve it, but I promise you, He can solve problems this morning. He is the counselor. I remember whenever I was in middle school, they thought I needed a counselor to counsel me because I was mean and hateful. My mother-in-law and father-in-law are here. They just said amen underneath their breath. And I never will forget, we had a counselor at the school, you know, and they were trying to find out why I had anger problems. And then they sent me to the counselor, and she found out real quick why I had an anger problem, because I don't like nobody pointing out I got an anger problem. And back in those days, boy, they took me in there and sat me down, and they, you know, they go through all this stuff. And by the end of the conversation, I was so mad because they make you that way. They pick and they pry to try to, but you know what? I was thinking, I'm glad my God's not like that. I'm glad that I can sit down with my God and my Savior and that He already knows all of my problems. He knows all of my weaknesses, and I can sit down and He'll counsel me and He'll point me in the path that I need to take, and He'll point me in the path that'll bring peace in my life. I'm glad I ain't got to go sit on some long couch somewhere and pay a lot of money for somebody to tell me what's wrong with me. Because I already know what's wrong with me. I just need somebody to tell me how I can fix what's wrong with me. And Jesus can do that. Jesus can fix what's wrong with you this morning. All of us have problems that seems like nothing else can solve. That's why a lot of people today, they go to drugs, they go to alcohol. They run away from God, they run away from mom, they run away from church to try to solve their own problems. There's a man in the Bible, or actually a boy in the Bible, who we call the prodigal son. He thought that he could go out on his own. But he found out very quickly, without the counsel of his father, that he spent all he had, and he ended up in the world, and he ended up worse than he did when he started off. And he realized that he had to go back to the father. The greatest day in your life is when you realize you got to go back to the father. When you're at the end of your rope, you got to go back to the father. Now look at the next one there in verse 6 of Isaiah. It says, the mighty God. The mighty God speaks of no power that he cannot subdue. No power that he cannot subdue. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, the Bible says, all power is given unto me, both in heaven and in earth. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. Matter of fact, the Bible speaks there in 1 Peter of all powers being subdued underneath him. They are subject to Christ. By the way, the devil's not greater than our Lord. A lot of people think the devil has more power than our God. But I'm going to tell you that the devil has no power unless the Lord allows him to have it. He's the mighty God. There is no power he cannot subdue. When you think in your life that all the walls are crashing in, and maybe you think that the world is crashing in on your life, remember who is the power in your life. That Jesus Christ has all power. You know, whenever I was young, I thought my dad was the strongest man in the world. My dad would lift weights every day of his life. My dad was pretty good sized guy, I guess, to be short like me. And I thought, man, my dad could do anything. I've seen him lift motors out of the Volkswagens with his bare hands. You know, used to use them old crank things come along and pull them out. My dad reaching them old Volkswagens when he'd work on them, he'd just pull them out and go set them down. I'd be back there watching them. I'd go, wow. You know, Volkswagen motors are only like 50 pounds, you know. And I remember sitting there as a young child watching my father, and I'd be like, man, he's so strong. He could take me, pick it up and pick up things and put it down. I'd be like, man, he's so strong. But you know what? Pretty soon you realize there's some things that your dad can't lift. That he's not as strong as you thought he was. The older I got, the more I was like, well, maybe he's not Superman. I'd peel his shirt back and look, see if he had the suit on, and he didn't. And I realized real quick that I needed somebody who had all power. And Jesus Christ was the only one that had all power. You need somebody that's powerful in your life that'll overcome all that you have. By the way, can I say this, that Jesus overcame hell, death, and the grave? Oh, grave, where is thy power? Where is it? For Jesus, it is our victory. We have victory in Jesus because why? He is all powerful. Now look at the next one. It says, the everlasting Father. That simply means there's no period he does not span. I like that. God's the same today as he was yesterday. He'll be the same today as he will be tomorrow. He's the same all the time. He's the everlasting Father. There's no span of time he cannot cross. Jesus does not live by a clock. He's timeless. You know what? I believe that when we look in our life and we think, well, I don't know if God will bring us through this, we got to be reminded that God is the same God today as He was back in Abraham's day. He doesn't see time. And when we think about our lives and we say, well, back in the day when they had great revivals, there will not be any great revivals today. Why not? Because they're still the same God. It's just we don't rely on Him like we used to. He's the everlasting Father. There's no period He does not span. Matter of fact, look over in Isaiah chapter 9. It should already be there. But Isaiah chapter 9, I want you to notice in verse 7 there. Isaiah 9, 7. I want you to notice what the Bible says. He says, Isaiah 9, 7, not 7, 9. It says, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be what? No end. upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of the hosts will perform this." There's no end to His reign. There's no end to our Lord. That He is everlasting. When you get saved, you are saved forevermore. Hallelujah for that. I can lose anything. I lay it down, I'll lose it. But I'm glad I can't lose my salvation. I'm glad that I'm sealed until the day of redemption and that nobody can take it away. The prince of power of this air can't take it away. You can't take it away. And by the way, God can't even take it away because He promised and He gave it to me as a gift. He's the everlasting Father. But I want you to notice that last thing there in verse 6. Calls Him the Prince of Peace. As we have seen this week, there's a lot of turmoil in this world. There's a lot of turmoil. And by the way, just because it happens in Connecticut doesn't mean it can't happen here. And it's amazing when tragedy happens. And I always ask myself, what would I do? As a matter of fact, I don't know what I'd do. As a matter of fact, you don't know what you would do. You can prepare. You can say, well, I know what I'd do. But I want to tell you what. Until it happens, we don't understand. We don't understand the thinking of crazy people in this world. By the way, I believe lost people in this world. And can I say that whenever those times come of tragedy in our life, that as in Philippians chapter 4 verse 7 says, that we need a peace that passes all understanding. I've seen people face tragedy and wonder how in the world are they holding up. Yet they know a God in heaven who gives all peace. And it passes all understanding. What does that mean? It means you and I may not understand it. But God gives the peace that passes that. And you got to have peace in your life. There's no person He cannot save, or there's no person He cannot steal. When the disciples were in that storm, whenever they faced the storm of life, Jesus just simply said, "Peace, be still." Why? Because He's the Prince of Peace. When Jesus Christ came into your life to save you from sin, He said, "Peace, be still." You remember when Mary and Martha came down to the tomb? Remember they came down there and they were going to anoint the body of Christ and the stone was rolled away and the angel sat there and he said, "What? Fear not." You know, it's amazing how many times we see "fear not" or "fret not" or "be not afraid." Why? Because that's what Jesus came to do. Was to give us peace. Was to give us peace that passes all understanding. The fear of the Lord, the fear that is in our life is not the fear of the Lord. The fear that's in our life before salvation is the fear that we're going to face hell, that we're going to have to pay for our sin. But when Jesus saved you, and when Jesus saved me, He saved us from that fear. Perfect love casteth out fear, 1 John tells us. The Prince of Peace. Again, the tragedies of this week. I was reading on Fox News yesterday how much stuff happened in our world this week. You know what? Just that the shooting at the elementary school is not the only thing that happened this week. There were shootings all over America today. Down in Fort Hood, there was a man shot. In Birmingham, Alabama, a man went into a hospital, shot three people there. I thought, man, what's happening to our world? Do you know what? A lot of times, we don't realize that it happens every day in America. That there's some type of tragedy happening. We don't see it because they don't post all of it on the news. We don't see how many people are killed by drunk drivers every weekend in this world. We don't look and see how many people fall to predators all over this world, whether they're holding guns, knives, or whatever it is. But whenever we see such a tragedy that's happened this week, and when we see it's so concentrated and we're focused on it because of the ages, and I think, man, how horrible is this world that we live in? But also how great a peace that God can give. I was watching, as most of you probably were, as some of the parents were finding out that their children's lives were taken from them. And I would see the faces of those parents, and immediately, in my mind, I'd pray, "God, give them peace and comfort and grace and mercy. And Father, if they're not saved, I pray through this people will be saved." It is amazing how When tragedy strikes in America, everybody goes to church. Right? 9/11 happened. Churches were filled the next week. Church there in Connecticut is filled. Why? Because they know they need something that the world cannot give. Now, they were in their own church. Amen. But I want to tell you what, they were seeking something that was higher and more supernatural than they were. They were seeking for a peace, and I believe our world is looking for something that's greater than them. I believe sometimes it does take tragedy to get our eyes off to see that we cannot handle this. If I tried to handle this type of tragedy on my own, I don't know what I'd do, but I know I can face things when I face them with my Savior. I'm glad that Jesus is with me today. And that if you're saved this morning, He's with you. A few months go by and people forget about church again. People forget about God again. Once again, our government will try to make laws that silence our gospel that we hold in our hand this morning. But during the time of mourning, people are looking for something. And God help us to have our fingers pointed toward heaven. Amen. And saying, I don't have the answer. I've been at many wrecks working in EMS and fire, and I've seen some horrible tragedies in my life. It seemed like whenever I worked down in Burnett that every year we had several teenagers killed in car accidents. I'd always get the call from the fire department, or I'd be on working that day, and I would have to go tell parents. And I always told every parent and every family I ever spoke with, I don't know what to say to you, but I know where peace comes from. And I hope today, and this is what I would tell them, I hope today that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior. You know what? I had a dad one time. His daughter was taken away from him, and she was a member of our church. Her husband had beat her to death. He was a member of our church. And I had to go tell the dad. And I never will forget, whenever I went to go to the house, the dad had just found out before I'd got there, and he was crawling around the house, weeping and crying. And as a pastor, as a preacher, I stood there with my Bible in my hand because this is the only thing I knew to bring with me. Amen. There was no pamphlet or no brochure that I could bring and throw it before the dad and say, here, read this. But I brought my Bible. That's all I had. And I never will forget, as that father just found out that his daughter had been killed, is that I couldn't even say anything to him. I just opened up, and as I opened up the Bible, it was amazing the peace and the calm that came over that house. And all of a sudden, as the father stood up on his knees and he looked me right in my eyes as I was already sitting on the couch at this time, he said, I need Jesus. And I'm sorry that I have rejected Him all of these years. I took my Bible and turned it around. And I took him down the Romans Road. And the dad got saved. I don't want to tell you the whole story. But I will tell you this. Before that time, that father had sought out everything in this world to try to fill that void in his life. He had sought many things, kind of like the woman in the Bible that sought all the physicians. And yet the Bible says daily she grew worse until she found Jesus. When this dad accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, can I tell you, immediately his countenance changed. Did it stop the mourning and grieving? No, it didn't. But it did stop the doubt and the fear in this man's life. That now he knew that he was saved. And to see that peace come over his life was amazing to me. This morning, tragedy could strike in your life. But there was a child who was born in Bethlehem. Matter of fact, the word Bethlehem means the house of bread. The bread was born in the house of bread. The bread of life. He came to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. He was born. Why? So he could die for your sins. He had to be born of a virgin. Why? Because prophecy said he had to be born of a virgin. He couldn't have the seed of man in him because the seed of man is that seed of sin. He's the sinless one. He was born in a manger. We've discussed that many times, in a trough. He was lowly. He was raised without sin. Never knew no sin. Died on the cross, was buried, and then he rose again to give us the victory. You're here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I don't know if I died today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven." I want you, when we give the invitation here tomorrow, I want you to come down. We got people all over the front up here that'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. It's not our opinion, by the way. It's what God says. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He said, "I am the door. If any man come in, he's got to go. You got to go by the door. You got to go by Jesus Christ." But you're maybe you're here this morning and you say, "Preacher, I'm just not sure." Maybe you're doubting your salvation. Don't doubt your salvation. Pastor said this not too long ago. Know that you 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 have eternal life. By the way, we don't serve a God of maybe. We serve a God of certainty. I'm certain that I'm saved this morning. I'm certain that He's going to prepare me a place. I'm certain that He's coming back. I'm certain that He's going to judge the world of sin. I'm certain this morning that God is who He said He is. Maybe here's more. Maybe you're facing tragedy. You know, it's amazing to me how people look at other people's lives. They're going through stuff and they're like, "That's nothing to it." But when you're going through it, it seems like it's big. You know why? Because it's your life. I can't look at Brother Clark's life and say he's not going through anything big because I don't know what's going on in Brother Clark's life. But I can say, "God, I don't know what's going on in Brother Clark's life, but would you be with Brother Clark?"
Amen.
And I'm glad the God of heaven will say, "I'll take care of it." In His time, He'll take care of it. The same in your life. I don't know what you're going through, but I do know a God who does.
Amen.
Aren't you glad for Christmas? By the way, it's Christmas.
Amen.
I like that they say holiday. It's holy day. Amen. They try to take Christ out of Christmas and call it a holiday, and then it's really a holy day. So really, they're saying the same thing. I like it. Amen. I like, the other day I was going into a store, and the little lady was sitting there ringing the bell. She said, "Merry Christmas. God bless you." I stopped and went back because I thought she was going to say, you know, "Happy whatever." I went back. I said, "What'd you say, ma'am?" She said, "Merry Christmas. And God bless you." I tell you, if I wouldn't have thought it would have been offensive, I would have hugged the lady. I was like, "God bless you, ma'am. And thank you for saying that." Because this time of the seasons, it's about Christ. By the way, January is about Christ. February is about Christ. March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December is all about Christ. 367,000 years from now, we'll still be saying, "Hey, it's all about Jesus. It's all about Christ." Why don't you let Him in your life today? Let's stand this morning.